When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's a bootleg instead on third down. Third down, and he's dragged down from behind by Sweat.
That's the one guy who can actually go inside and still keep contained on the outside. You see why he was drafted so high. He's got that next level ability to do multiple things. He's so far inside, almost everyone else gets outrun to the corner, and it's surprising, second time today, that Sweat. See how he goes inside there? Usually that's a very bad idea against Jaden Daniels, but Sweat can make it work.
Believe it or not, was the last time Montez Sweat had a sack. That was October 27th. It is November 22nd, so it's been nearly a month since he has had a sack. That was against the Commanders. Through nine games, he has 3.5 sacks.
Yuck.
Right. That was the guy that made the entire difference last year, the whole idea of the Tez effect. I know he's getting double-teamed.
And he's not healthy 100%.
Well, all great pass rushers get double-teamed, and through nine games, most NFL players aren't 100% healthy. So, anytime, man.
Yeah, I think anytime, when you say that, you really mean next time, as in Sunday.
Well, I mean, it's already too late now. Like, they've already
why is it
lost.
Too late? Why is it too late?
We'll get to that, to look at the numbers. I mean, there's nothing. This season's just shot. So
it's best you know this now, Marshall. It's best you just learn this.
I don't think the season is shot, because I think when we started the season, we said, oh, the playoffs would be nice, but Caleb Williams' development is the most important thing.
I actually predicted they would be in the playoffs.
I predicted they finished 10-7. I said 10-7 playoffs.
I said 10 wins. I was really hopeful.
And I want to point out that's still on the table. Mm. 6-1 is possible. Mathematically speaking, Dan, 6-1 is possible.
Crack pipe down.
Okay, let me ask you something, Dan. If they win this week.
Yeah.
And then they win next week.
Right, and then they win the next week, and then they win next week.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're following me.
Yeah, no, okay. Well, a little bit later in the show, Jason Leisure
actually did
some of the work on what those possibilities are. And I agree.
He got it calculated. He did the math.
That all that matters right now is the development of Caleb Williams and getting that taken care of. And that's why we're watching, and that's what's important. I also think, you know, right now they should be formulating their next steps for a coaching staff. Like, they should be well down. They should be well down that road. They should be. It is their responsibility to already be talking to more agents than just Trace Armstrong.
See, did we figure out who Thomas Brown's agent is? Did we establish that?
Not Trace Armstrong.
We know that, but we don't know who his agent is. Maybe a new pipeline.
Can I get us back to Sunday real quick?
Oh yeah,
he has to be a disruptive presence in order for the Bears to have a chance against the Vikings. Do you remember how comfortable, comfy, in the words of Caleb Williams, Kirk Cousins was to start the game the last time these two teams met? What do you do? Rattle off like 16 straight completions or something wild? They didn't even try to rush the passer in that game. You can't have that happen again. They've got to have some sort of pass rush or at least some blitz looks or something that's going to not let the Vikings quarterback, Sam Darnold, relax out there.
I don't think Sam Darnold, first of all, is Kirk Cousins. Let's start with that.
I don't care. You can turn him into Kirk Cousins real easy if you don't want to rush anybody.
So that's Matt Eberflus has to do his secondary job first this week. He has to set the tone defensively. He's got to figure out a way to get pressure on the quarterback. It's been an issue. It's been one of the reasons they haven't been a quote-unquote top five defense, as many people had lauded them to potentially being this season.
And the similarity with Kirk Cousins, if you want to do that, is Darnold is one of those guys that as a play deteriorates, is much more likely to make a mistake. He's not one of these guys who finds a way to keep his cool when all hell is breaking loose around him. You remember early in his career, he talked about seeing ghosts out there, famously when he was coming off the field at one point. And he is, as a play starts to go bad, your defense has to be more opportunistic against him.
And that is the operating goal for a defense. Like, sometimes that is the margin you have to work with in order to have success. I do, however, respect the resume that Darnold has put together this year. You can't argue with the improvement.
No, the improvement is there. I think there's ways to get him. We talked to Matt Bowen about it. I like the idea that if you're in man, he can find the guys he needs to find. But zone and mixing things up, is, I think there's going to be opportunities, is what I'm saying. They have giveaways on the season that show us that you can make him make mistakes. Now, will the Bears be able to take advantage of the mistakes like they did last week against Jordan Love? We'll see. But the opportunities will definitely be there to get the takeaways, and that's something that's been lacking. Even though they've been on the plus side of the turnover margin, it hasn't been good enough. You need multiple takeaways in games to win at this level.
Man, that's it to me. You're looking, Marshall and Dan, to me at a game where you could say the same thing as to what we said about the Packers game, where you had sustainable drives, you showed promise in the offense, you had a good mix of plays, you won the turnover battle, but you still might not have enough offense or firepower to get this thing through.
It starts with up front. Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator, talked yesterday about, I mean, he knows it, that the Bears don't really have a pass rush recently.
That's a weekly aspiration and goal. Everything that we like to do starts with our four-man rush, first through third down and including 2 minutes. And whatever we desire to do in terms of sending an extra player should complement that. But we have to have the production with our four-man rush.
Well,
and you haven't. You haven't had it. So what's going to change? I need to understand what's being designed, drawn up, however you want to put it. What's changed that's going to allow that pressure to develop? Now, maybe it's Montez Sweat being healthier. Maybe that's a starting point. I don't know how he's feeling. Well, I know how he's feeling, but I don't know how he is from an injury standpoint. But I know he's been off the injury report, and that seems to be a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. But again, kind of like, I guess it's a coaching thing. You know, you want to always win the play with base personnel, right? Like, you don't want to have to go max protect to complete a pass. You don't want to have to blitz in order to provide pressure. But you have to do it sometimes. Like, that's the mix here. You know, you can't always just have everything you want outright. Like, if your talent isn't out-talenting the other player, then you have to do something in order to at least change the pace to get a different outcome.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think Andrew Billings hurt. There's no question that the attention that he drew, regardless of if you're talking about him as a pass rusher, as a presence, you only have so many blockers and you only have so many people for whom you have to account. And the moment he went out, we knew it. We knew it wasn't just his size and how, you know, broad in the beam he is as a run stuffer. It takes up other attention. Now, so the question is, what can you do? Well, you can answer that. Rather than send extra people you can change your alignments. You can, if depending on your specific athletic matchup with the guy across from you, if Montez Sweat wants to beat people with speed, you can take a wider alignment in certain situations. You
know, does that mean your gap integrity fails?
Well, it just means everything else has to be balanced to account for that. Or what else can you do? Twists and games using those same four. And you can have guys loop around and you can do all of your line stunts here. But in doing that, if a team also has the right play call on, there's exposure there. So within the game within the game with some of these guys is a lot of times if you want to get your four guys home somehow, it's just got to be on them. And where Montez Sweat did it last year, he's not doing it this year. Yet.
We know he's a second-half player in a Bears uniform anyway. So you're hoping for more production on the back end than you had on the front end. I wonder who else could step up, though. Because we keep talking about Montez Sweat like it's all on him. But somebody else has to step. If he's getting double-teamed, can someone else not step up? Is that possible? We talked Jervon Dexter earlier in the season. We look at the other end and see who's rotating in. They make a trade to get another pass rusher, and it hasn't. There's been flashes, but frankly, you don't need a flash. You need a consistent stream.
Dominique Robinson has been only active for a couple of games this year. He was somebody who they looked at with some potential individual ability, and for all the hype we had over Austin Booker,
That was preseason hype, Dan.
Yeah, I know. But he made the team and was in a rotation. I had one source that was talking to the other day about him. Just said he doesn't really. He's a great athlete. He's got a great build, a great motor. He just doesn't know what he's doing yet. That he really doesn't understand the angles and the levers and. That he still could be good, but at the moment he just doesn't really know what he's doing.
I do think that's a fair expectation out of him based on what they gave up for him and based on what they need him to be. The problem is we're focusing on him because other people are either missing out of the defensive line or they might not be performing up to snuff.
So let's hear what Montez Sweat had to say about these problems.
Yeah, it gets to me a little bit. As pass rushers, we look at numbers, and we know that we're judged upon our numbers and stats like that. But I know it's just one bump in the road. Just got to keep going.
So why don't you think you are getting home as much?
Well, it's a multiple of reasons. You can't really pinpoint one reason, but yeah, it's a multiple of reasons.
Are you getting chipped so much that it's making it difficult to...
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I understand what comes with being the type of pass rusher I am. I'm going to get chips. I'm going to get slides. We have to find a plan around that and figure out how to get him down.
Do you feel like you've been figuring things out as you try to get after the quarterback? You said as they attack you, you're trying to adjust.
I mean, it's like a week-to-week thing. They come in bunches. I think we need to just figure things out as a front. It's not just me. It's a collective group that needs to compete to one common goal.
We know you're not the type that's going to make excuses with injuries, but obviously you've been on the injury report. You've been dealing with these injuries for a bit. Now, how much has that limited you to be your full form?
I mean, it comes with being a football player, knickknacks and all that type of stuff. I definitely have been on the injury report this year more than I'm used to, but it's no excuse.
Are you personally frustrated?
I mean, we on a, 3-4 game losing streak? I'm pretty frustrated. So yeah,
is that a healthy anger that the defense kind of shares?
I think it's everybody in the locker room is sharing. The all common goal at the end of the day is just to win, whether that's with sacks or points. So either way it goes, we just want to be in the W column.
Thank you.
I think he's right about the collective part.
Yeah, take your anger out on somebody on Sunday. I'll like to see that.
Yeah, and I think it is more than just him. And I know because he's the guy that got paid and because he's the guy who led your team in sacks last year, which, by the way, wasn't a large total of sacks that he had to lead the team in sacks. I came into this season wondering who's going to get pressure on the quarterback? And here we are, over halfway through the season, and that question has not changed. And the answers have not been satisfactory. And you could talk about being a top five, top 10 defense all you want, but it's a quarterback league. And if you can't get to the quarterback, you face a good one, he's going to get you killed.
Well, and they just get so relaxed. You're talking about one of the best receivers in the league the Vikings have on the other side.
Oh, they have a good receiver?
I hate how much I just love Justin Jefferson's game. Like, what he makes catches.
Why do you hate it?
Because he's in the division. He's an opponent of the Bears see twice a year.
So?
You can respect greatness, but also feel like the team that you are dealing with can find ways to solve the equation.
But I also, I mean, I find myself saying like, oh, they really need an offense that is schemed toward his talent. Like, that's how much I, as a football fan, like seeing him play. So when you're watching the Bears on the other side and you know that their defensive line is supposed to be disruptive, it's just upsetting. Where's Zach Pickens in all of this, by the way?
Yeah, there are several names you can throw out right now that have not come to play at a high level this season. They're there. They are. I see them at the end of the game and the little individual statistics, but I don't see a lot of crooked numbers next to their name. I see a lot of zeros and ones. It looks like someone's building some type of data service on a computer. Zeros and ones. That's what I see.
That's binary code. It's great for a lot of things, but not if you're talking about stat keeping.
Exactly. That's the point. If you're a pitcher in baseball, oh, zeros and ones. That's what I like to see. But for this particular sport and this defense that needs to tighten up, which the best thing I can say about this defense so far this season is, hey, they bend, but they don't usually break. But they give up chunks of yards. If you look at the total yards allowed, it's starting to creep up there. They're starting to be very middle of the pack in yards allowed per game.
Well, I'm disappointed, frankly, that they haven't developed a more impactful defensive tackle to either be behind Andrew Billings or supplant Andrew Billings. Because even though Billings has been really good this year, we forget he was a borderline NFLer for a while. He was bouncing around practice squads. He was getting released by teams, and he credit to him for how hard he's worked to build himself back into what he was. But it's not like he has some pedigree. Like, ideally, when you took Dexter and you took Pickens there, and say what you all the injury setbacks and all that, we have been looking at three technique, and we've been looking at the middle of this line from jump.
Yep.
From the ever since the failed signing of Larry Ogunjobi.
Yes.
Of them trying to run this defense without having the most important person in there. And then we saw them, you know, occasionally Sweat would go in at three technique. Billings would be at three technique. But they never, ever really solved that.
I think a part of it, too, is they draft based on traits and not necessarily tape. So then you're putting a lot of faith into people like Jarvon Dexter, who we've seen improve. He deserves that respect. Credit to Adam Studzinski. But when you're doing that for so many players, then how many risks are you taking? How many things do you need to pay off? It's almost like, again, Jed Hoyer's discussion. Like, expecting people to overperform here or like outperform the expectation that they may have had?
That's a Cubs thing. That you can only say that you expect overperformance when you're the Cubs.
But when you're drafting based on traits to this example and to this extreme, and you're needing all of those positions to hit in a way that you think your process and your system is going to get them there, and asking the question.
I don't think it's overperformance. I think that's development.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Development is really the key here. And do we have a system? Is it a systemic crisis in terms of development, specifically on the defensive line? Because it's not that they've taken, it's not that they haven't spent draft capital on defensive linemen. They have. They just haven't performed at the level that, you know, second, third, fourth rounders probably should in for most teams.
I think it's a bigger discussion to me because a lot of people will say third round and on don't matter. You know, that it's hit and miss.
I disagree.
I completely disagree. I argue that that is where you make your team. It's, you know, the GMs who can't get a first round pick right. Okay, that's pretty obvious. That's a little more self-explanatory. But when it comes to the GMs who know how to hit in the third, fourth, fifth rounds, that's when, to me, you're really doing your job.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.